It won't be anything new for this telecast, but I'm going to bring what I would call a controversial message today. I'm going to speak to you on this subject, something better than miracles. And when I'm talking about miracles, I'm talking about tongues and healing and discernment of spirits and prophecies and these various gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. Now, I've chosen as my text 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 30 and 31. Now, listen to it. It says, "Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet, desire, the best gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And yet, Paul said, covet the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. I show you something better than miracles." You see what he's saying? Covet the best gifts, and yet I show you something better, something more excellent, something better than miracles. Now then, without a question, in the early days of the church, God bestowed upon the disciples, upon the apostles, and other leaders, great, powerful, and unusual gifts. When our Lord sent his disciples out in Mark 16 to preach, he said to them, "Go and preach the gospel to every creature." And he said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." He said, "They'll drink deadly things and it won't hurt them. They'll run into poison snakes and it won't hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll be recovered. The blind will see and the dead will live." And then at Pentecost, the disciples preached the gospel of Christ in many languages. It says everybody there, people were there from all these different countries, and they heard these men preach the gospel in a language that these men had never learned. They spoke in tongues at Pentecost. And then at the Gate Beautiful, Peter healed a man, made him completely well, just like that. A man who had been born lame from birth. And then at Troas, Paul raised a man from the dead. A man who was dead, Paul laid his hands on him and he lived. And then Peter was able to discern the hypocrisy of Ananias and Sapphira. These people stood before him lying to God, lying to the Holy Ghost. And Peter, God's preacher, knew they were lying. He told them they were. He knew their thoughts. And then Peter was able to discern the hypocrisy of Simon Magus. He said, "Your heart's not right with God." Peter couldn't see his heart, could he? Well, that's what he said, "Your heart's not right with God." Now, that's without question. These signs followed these apostles and early preachers. Yes, they did. Gifts and wonders and miracles and powerful things. Now, secondly, without question, no question about this, these gifts and signs and miracles and wonders were given to these apostles for a reason. God had a reason, a divine purpose. And these signs and wonders and miracles and the ability to perform them, speak in other languages, were given to these apostles and early preachers as credentials, as proof that they were sent from God, as proof that they spoke for God. Here these men came saying they were speaking for God. And these signs and miracles and wonders were credentials or proof to the people that they were speaking for God. Even our Lord Jesus Christ used it as a proof. He said, "If you don't believe me, believe me for the work's sake, the miracles that I do." Nicodemus said to Christ, "We know your teacher come from God. No man could do the miracles you do except God be with him." Huh? You know what he said? We know that. And then in Hebrews 2, now listen to this. Listen, Hebrews 2, 3, and 4. "The gospel at the first began to be spoken by our Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Who were those people? The apostles. God also bearing these men witness with signs and wonders and different miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. Our Lord preached the gospel, and it was confirmed by them that heard him, and they preached it to us, and God bore them witness. God gave them credentials. God gave them proof that they spoke the truth and they spoke for God by the different miracles and wonders and signs and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Why? What was this divine reason and purpose? Well, the only scripture those people had back then were the Old Testament scriptures. The New Testament wasn't written. That's all they had. They had the Old Testament scriptures from Genesis to Malachi. That's all the scriptures they had. That's all the Bible they had. And these disciples came preaching the fulfillment of the Old Testament, the fulfillment of all the prophecies and all the ceremonies and all the sacrifices and all the types that I preached about last week. They came preaching the fulfillment of those things in Christ. It was necessary then that they have some proof that God sent them to declare this message, that God sent them to declare this good word, this good news, these glad tidings, this gospel of our liberty in Christ Jesus, this gospel of a covenant in grace, not in works, this gospel of a finished work. That's right. They needed proof. They needed credentials. They did. I don't need it because the New Testament is completed. The message of Christ, now watch this. Here's another reason why they needed credentials and gifts and wonders and signs that we don't need. These men were going to the Gentiles, the heathen, the pagan. That's us. We were not Jews, Gentiles. They were going to the heathen to preach Christ and to preach the fulfillment of God's promise and prophecies, and the heathen, the Gentile, had no scripture at all. They had no knowledge of the scriptures. They had no knowledge of the law. They had no prophet, priest, or tabernacle. And these men were going to Ephesus and Galatia and other places to preach Christ. And they needed proof. They needed credentials. The people needed also to be convinced that these apostles and preachers were not imposters, but they were men of God. Literally, in reality, men of God. Why don't I need these miracles and wonders and signs? I've got the whole Bible. The Gentile world has the whole Bible. The whole Bible's been printed in over 1,000 different languages all over the world. God doesn't have to prove anything. We don't need any divine proof. We don't need any signs and wonders and miracles to tell you God reigns, that He will redeem sinners through the blood of Jesus Christ. Read it yourself in the Bible. However, my friend, the Scriptures, when they were completed, now listen to me, when the Scriptures were completed, when the New Testament was written, we have a history of the church after the days of the apostles. We have the writings of men like Ignatius and Polycarp and Augustine and men who lived back in those in the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th century all the way up to this present day. And I'm going to tell you something. I know a little bit about church history, and I know that these unusual gifts of speaking in other languages, discernment of the spirits, and prophecies other than the Word of God are not mentioned. They're not mentioned by proven servants of God. Augustine never talked about them. He never had them. John Calvin never had them. Martin Luther never had them. John Huss, John Owen never had them. Huss never had them. Whitfield, Wesley, Charles Wesley, Isaac Watts, John Newton, Zwingli, Spurgeon, Gill, Edwards. Keep naming these men of power, these men of proven ability, these theological giants, these men who wrote the confessions of faith that we have, the Heidelberg, the Westminster, the Philadelphia, and all of these great confessions of faith, the 39 articles of the Episcopal Church. These men knew nothing about this sort of thing. They never even talked about it. They never even referred to it in their lives or in their churches. It's only in recent days, I'm telling you the truth, It's only in recent days, in the days of all these cults and sects and all the other different offshoots of church splits, that men have claimed to have the ability to speak in an unknown tongue and to discern thoughts and situations. And I'll tell you this, you listen to me. And most of these men who claim to have the gift of tongues, and they call it an unknown tongue because not even themselves or anybody else knows what they're saying. These men who claim to have these superb, unusual, supernatural gifts to heal the sick or to speak in other languages or discern the Spirit, they major on those gifts. They rarely ever preach Christ. They preach the Holy Ghost, and they preach the gifts, and they're always having healing services. But they rarely ever tell sinners how God can be just and justify the ungodly. They rarely ever preach Christ. They don't preach what Calvin and Luther and Whitfield and Zwingli and Huss and Owens and Edwards and Gill and Spurgeon and Watts and Newton and Cowper. They don't preach what those men preach because they don't have their message. One thing is very noticeable in this day. You listen to me now. One thing is very noticeable. Where men and women, preachers and congregations claim these so-called gifts of the Spirit, they, the preachers and the people, are more taken up with and concerned with the gifts than they are with the gospel. That's a fact, and you know it. They're more concerned with the tongues. They're more concerned with the hoopla. They're more concerned with the healing of the body than the healing of the soul. They're more concerned with the gifts than they are the gospel of God's grace. Our Lord experienced that when he was right here on this earth. It says in John 2, when they saw the miracles, not when they heard his message, not when they heard his gospel, when they saw the miracles, many believed on him, but he did not commit himself to them. He did not. He knew their hearts. He knew they were miracle followers. He knew they were miracle tasters. He knew they were people who liked emotionalism. Also, he said to another group, I know why you're following me. You ate of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat that perisheth. A man's life does not consist in the things he owns, and the clothes he wears, and the food he eats. It's righteousness and peace with God. That's exactly right. It's not the purpose, my friend, of the Holy Ghost to call attention to himself or to the gifts of the Spirit. That's not why the Holy Spirit was given. The Holy Spirit was not given by Christ to call attention to play pretties and gifts and to himself. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Christ, to reveal Christ to the hearts of men in saving faith. Listen to our Lord in John 16, verse 13. When he, the Holy Spirit, is come, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, not an evil spirit, not an idle spirit, not another spirit, but the Holy Spirit of truth, when he's come, he will guide you into all truth. Now listen, for he shall not speak of himself. Isn't it unusual that everywhere preachers who claim to have the gifts and the baptism of the Holy Ghost and these unusual miracles, about all they ever talk about is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. Have you received the Holy Ghost? We lay our hands on you and you get the Holy Ghost. They don't preach Christ. And our Lord said when the Holy Ghost is come, he won't speak of himself. He will not speak of himself. What'll he do? He shall glorify me. He shall speak of Christ. You know the man who has the Holy Spirit is the man who preaches Christ. The man who preaches Christ. Our Lord said, he, the Holy Spirit, shall receive of mine and show it to you. Receive what of mine? His righteousness, his sanctification, his atonement, his justification, his redemption. Those are the things of Christ. Those are the things I need. I may have poor eyesight and still go to glory. I may be hard of hearing, my soul still be saved. I may be lame or crippled, but I can be right with God. It's my heart that needs a work of grace, not my body. I don't need money and finances and clothes and popularity and health. I need Christ. I need my sins forgiven. I need my name written in the book of life. Our Lord said to his disciples, don't rejoice that the devils are subject to you, unto you. That's nothing to rejoice about. I'll tell you what you shall rejoice in. Rejoice that your name's written in the book of life. Sinners aren't saved by seeing miracles. They're saved by hearing the Word of God. You listen to Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing. How does faith come, preacher? By hearing. Not watching some preacher throw a crutch across a building or throw a wheelchair down an aisle and see some person get up and walk and then have to go back and get in the wheelchair when they get home, claim to be healed of cancer and then die, refusing to take their medicine or go to a doctor. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, not by miracles and signs and wonders done by imposters. It comes by hearing the Word of God. The rich man in hell said this, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus back to earth and let him warn my brothers that they come not to this place." And Abraham said, "Well, they have the scriptures. They have Moses and the prophets. That's the scriptures." "Oh," he said, "no." He said, "they won't listen to the scriptures. If one rose from the dead, they'd believe." Do you know what Abraham said to him? He said, "If they hear not the Word of God, they will not believe, though one rose from the dead." Did you know that? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, the foundation of faith is not an experience. It's not a miracle. It's not an emotional experience. It's the Word of God. "I believe because God has said." I believe because God said it. Let me tell you something else, friend. And you listen to me. You read the second chapter of Acts. The tongues spoken in the Scripture were known languages. Known languages. Peter and the apostles spoke in other languages. They didn't speak in a gibberish, in an unknown tongue. The Scripture plainly says that everybody there heard the gospel in his own tongue, in his own language. The gospel was preached. They didn't just get up there and demonstrate what power they had, what ability they had, and how they could discern the spirits. They didn't entertain sinners on the road to hell. They preached Christ. And they preached it in a language supernaturally given to them by the Spirit of God, and every man heard the gospel in his own tongue. Greeks and other people of other nations. The so-called unknown tongue and the gibberish being spoken today is as phony. Now listen to me, and I know what I'm saying. This so-called unknown tongue that nobody understands, not even the person who's giving it, he says it's his spirit praying anyway, not his understanding. But I'll tell you, when a man speaks in a language God gives him, the people to whom he speaks will understand it. He may not understand it, but somebody will. Somebody will. And this gibberish that's spoken today is as phony as the people who speak it. And that's exactly right. They don't understand it, and nobody else does. It's another spirit, and it accomplishes nothing whatsoever, and it serves no purpose. Now you listen again. Grab hold of your chair there, and you listen to me. I'm telling you the truth. I hear people say this, "Well, tongues, to speak in an unknown tongue is a sign." It's a sign. It's a sign to believers that they've been baptized by the Holy Ghost. They got the gift of tongue. Listen to 1 Corinthians 14:22. "Wherefore tongues are for a sign." That's exactly right. They're for a sign. "Not to them that believe." What did you say? Read it yourself. 1 Corinthians 14:22. "Tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not." Yes, tongues in the New Testament were a sign. They were proof. They were credentials to show people that God was speaking. What people did they show that to? Unbelievers. The believer doesn't need any signs. "This sinful and adulterous generation seeketh a sign, and no sign will be given." Our Lord said, "No sign will be given." It's exactly right. Signs are for unbelievers. Believers don't need signs. They walk by faith, not by sight. God doesn't have to prove anything to a believer. Job said, "Though he slay me, I'll trust him." He doesn't have to prove anything. I'm not questioning God's power to do anything. I'm not questioning God's power to do anything. All life is of God. God creates and gives life. All healing is of God. Even death is of God. God decrees death. Job 14. I'm not questioning God's power to give men unusual gifts when it serves a divine purpose. When it serves a divine purpose to glorify His name, to convert sinners, to bring men to Christ, to bring men to know the Savior. I'm not questioning his power or right to give supernatural gifts for that divine purpose to exalt Christ. I'm not questioning God's power to heal the body through prayer. James chapter 5 tells us to pray for the sick, to anoint them with oil. I do that. I pray for the sick. I'll anoint men and women with oil. Pray that the Holy Spirit will be pleased to heal them. What I am questioning is this. Now you listen to me. I'm questioning, and not only questioning, but I'm denying the false preachers and hucksters and merchandisers of men in this day in the United States of America who get rich and deceive people with their phony healing services and their phony prayer clause and their rich organizations. I tell you this, if they want to heal people, the hospitals are full of people that need healing. And the rest homes are full of people that need healing. And they don't have to put on a great tent campaign that costs thousands of dollars. They don't need to rent a great auditorium that costs thousands of dollars and bring people in wheelchairs to the auditorium so they can pass the collection plate and pay their bills and drive their big cars and live in fine homes. They don't need to do that. If they want to heal people, sick people, go to the hospital. Nearly every one of them are full of sick people. By the roadside, do like the apostles. Walk down the street and lay hands on a man at the gate. Don't call a bunch of people together so you can promote a program and get rich. The apostle Paul tells the early church, listen to me, covet the best gifts. The best gifts. What are the best gifts? I'll tell you, the power of faith, the gift of faith. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I'll tell you the power to preach the gospel. The man who preaches the gospel of Christ and God uses to deliver souls from hell and men from the bondage and slavery of sin and the law, that's a good gift. The gift of knowledge, oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Covet the gift of prayer. Covet the gift of humility. Covet the gift of graciousness and forgiveness and generosity and power to help and give to others. Covet the best gifts. But I'm telling you this. Now listen. In all of these gifts, miracles, power. In all of this, gifts and miracles and power, Paul said, I'm going to show you something better. Better than miracles and better than gifts. Better. Listen, that's the love of Christ. Listen to 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues, languages of men and angels. That'd be something, wouldn't it? To speak in all the languages of angels and men. And I don't have love. God is love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Though I speak with the languages and tongues of men and angels, and I have not Christ, I have not love, well, I'm a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You might as well hit a big old Chinese gong for all the good it'd do to listen to you rattle off in your gibberish and unknown tongue. Doesn't mean a thing if you don't have the love of Christ in your soul and in your heart by the grace of God. That's right. Don't be proud and lifted up. And though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand the mysteries, I can take people deep into the great mysteries of history and the Word. And I have great knowledge. And I have faith so that I could remove mountains. But if I have not love, the love of Christ, the love of God in my heart, if I have not Christ, if I have not His saving mercies, if I have not His love, I am nothing. You mean with all my power and prestige and influence and prophetical powers and knowledge and intellect, that without Christ, that's right, I'm nothing. Nothing. A big fat zero. Nothing. And then though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, I'm for that. Send money to Nigeria, Ethiopia, anywhere. Send wheat to Russia. Help the Chinese. Help anyone. Feed the poor. Help the hungry. Supply the needy. Give my body to be burned as a martyr for my belief, for my theology. But if I do that and have not the love of Christ, it won't profit me one thing. Everything starts with a heart knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It continues to walk with the heart knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's consummated with a heart knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is this love? It's love for Christ. It's love for the people of God. It's love for people everywhere. Let me show you the definition of this love. And then Paul writes in verse 4, love endures. This love endures. It's not temporary. This love endures. It's kind. It's gentle and courteous. This love is not envious and jealous. This love is not proud and boastful of what I have, what I know, or what I've done. This love is never rude. It's never discourteous. This love does not insist on its own rights. This love is not touchy and easily provoked. This love does not imagine evil. Read between the lines. This love does not rejoice in another person's fall, but this love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, and it never fails. It never quits loving. Now I wish that all the folks out there who profess to be saved, who profess to be believers, would quit seeking the so-called gifts and seek this love. Oh yeah, I'll show you something better. I'll show you something more excellent than they. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. That's right. Covet the best gift. But I'll show you something better. Ask God to shed His love abroad in your heart, to reveal to you the love of Christ and make you love like Christ.